Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 1, we're going to start with, it says this: so the creation of the heavens and the earth are everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all of his work of creation. Now, I know that a lot of us have read that, and I think that's where we tend to stop, is we read it, but the hardest part about doing that is to actually apply it. And so this morning's sermon, if you're into titles, is called Beyond Busy. How many of you know that there is a life beyond busy? A lot of times we feel productive if we're busy. There's a quote by Eugene Peterson, who he was a pastor, and he said this, that a busy pastor is a lazy pastor. Because oftentimes it's way easier to be busy than it is to be intentional, right? And so I've always taken that to heart, that I noticed that there's certain times in my life as a pastor that I can just get busy and feel like I'm accomplishing something. But I'm only called to accomplish what God has called me to accomplish, right? But if I stay busy, sometimes I think that I'm being productive. And I was thinking about this whole rest thing, and what we're going to talk about this morning is the Sabbath. Most of you have probably never even heard Sabbath, or maybe never even applied Sabbath or solitude. And we're going to talk about that this morning and how biblical it is, and how amazing it can be. Now, I do want to say something, that I never preach something that I haven't first applied into my own life. So I'm not preaching something that I think that we should all just jump on the bandwagon and start doing. I'm preaching something that I and my and Alicia's life have been challenged to do this. We started this about 6 months ago, maybe even a little bit longer than that. And we applied this to our lives because we saw that it was biblical. And as I saw this and I started reading through this, I begin to think about our lives, me and Alicia. When we go on vacation, we're go, go, go. I mean, when you get home from vacation, you've got to take another vacation because you've just gone, 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 and you don't even enjoy what you've done. And I think that is actually what happens in a life a lot of times, is that we go, 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 and the life that you're called to enjoy, you're not even getting to enjoy because you're staying so busy trying to just survive life. Now, how many of you know that God didn't call us just to survive? The Bible says that in this world we will have trouble, but you be of good cheer because you are more than a conqueror, right? So life was never created for it to conquer you. It was always instituted for you as a kingdom person to be able to conquer life, to conquer the things that you face, right? And so as I begin to read this, I begin to process that a lot of times in life, we just kind of try to survive life. And I want you to know that today you can begin to do much more than just survive. That's a miserable life, right? Just trying to survive, trying to get through. And, you know, there's a life beyond busy, and it takes Jesus to discover it. It takes Jesus to be able to see the greater measure of life. And here, this is what Jesus did. He says, on the seventh day, he rested. Right? So God creates the entire universe, creates humans, breathes into the breath of God into Adam, and Adam becomes a living being. And then it says on the seventh day, he rested. Another interesting thing is he created him on the sixth day. He rested on the seventh day. I believe it's because he created Adam on the sixth day so that he could enjoy him on the seventh day. And so many of us, we are trying to live our lives outside of the way that God designed our lives, okay? And so we tend to just, well, life is what it is, and we allow life to dictate our lives rather than Scripture, right? So what happens is ultimately is that we try to live our lives and just do it however life comes, and we just try to, you know, it's just like whatever happens, happens, right? But how many of you know that if you begin to apply this whole principle of Sabbath, you know, we've talked about connecting with God, right? We talked about love for the first week. We talked about seeking the kingdom the second week. We talked about the third week was giving and tithing and making him a priority. And this one is about Sabbath. It's about you resting. Like, I was telling some people this week that I think this is a harder sermon to receive than the one last week with tithing. Because we would much rather give our money than our time. But God didn't ask you to give just your time or just your money. He asked you to give both, because he created both of them. And you can only thrive in the confines of the way that he designed you. Anytime that you live outside of saying, well, God, I'm going to work all 7 days, you're living, you're telling God, you don't know you don't know how you created things. You didn't create them in a sustainability of being able to really get things done. Right? When we begin to live our lives, well, it's I've just got to get these things done. If the boss asks me, in this type of society, right, we live in a culture that doesn't honor kingdom. You know that, right? Like, if you tell someone in the world that you're tithing and you're giving 10% of your money, they're going to look at you like you're stupid. But that's a kingdom principle, right? So he takes the 90 and he blesses it, and you're actually becoming blessed more than with their 100% of them keeping it. And it's the same principles that you can work 6 days. He gives you the ability. You can work 6 days if you want. I'm out. 5 is good for me. But you can work 6 days if you want. But I like 2 days off, right? And you can apply that. But if you tell somebody, right, like, I got to work 7 days a week. So then what you're telling people is that God created a responsibility on you that he didn't create for everybody else. Because he designed us to be able to have a day of rest. It is in your DNA to rest, right? Because it says, if God rested, surely he created rest for us. This is what he said. He says, and God blessed the seventh day, and he declared it holy. In other words, he shouted into the garden, and he said, Adam and Eve, on the seventh day, you will rest. And Adam and Eve said, all right, peace out, garden. I'm done tilling the stuff today. And they walked away from it because they honored God. They trusted God. And so the Sabbath is, as much as it is talking about tithing and giving, is about trust. Do you know that the Sabbath is trust? It takes trust to take a day off. When you know that you've got to mow your yard and you got to take out the trash and you got to wash the dog and you got to change diapers and all the things you've got to do. Now, I want you to understand that this isn't something that we look at and say, this is the religion. Like, you can get religious if you want to. Because that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees did to Jesus. They said, hey, you know, I see that you're about to heal someone on Sabbath in the synagogue. And he says, you know, do you not honor the Sabbath? And he says, if you lost the sheep and it fell in the pond, would you not pull it out? And what he's saying is, look, is that there is a grace for things that you do have to accomplish. But he's not saying, I'm going to lord over you. If you do anything, you've broken all of the rules. God gives grace because when Jesus went to the cross, he gave you grace to be able to live this life called Sabbath. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have to do something on a Sunday or a Monday or whichever day you choose to do a Sabbath. But what he is doing is he's giving you the power to accomplish things in 6 days. And so you get to choose, do I want to be fatigued and tired and worn out and can't stand my kids and can't stand my husband and hate my wife? Or because it's not oftentimes because you hate them, it's because you're fatigued. Because you're not resting the way that God designed you to rest, right? And so here's the point is that the Sabbath is the ultimate reminder of whose you are. Every week, me and Alicia take a Sabbath. On Monday is our Sabbath. If you call us, I'm not answering the phone because that's work. I'm just kidding. But this is what happens is on Monday, we take our Sabbath. And every Monday morning, I wake up and I am reminded that God is my Savior. Every Monday when I wake up, I mean, I just preached several sermons, I've counseled, I've done all this stuff. But on Monday, unless somebody dies, they're not getting my attention. Because I want to honor that, and I make that day sacred for my wife, for my kid, and for my God. And that is all that gets that attention. It is those three things: God, my wife, and my child. And in that, I honor that, and I make sure that I respect that. But I never am ever able to just continue to do life whenever I do the Sabbath, because it always reminds me of you are my ultimate Savior, God. You are everything to me. And so it's in that I am reminded of the magnitude of who he is. You know, the Sabbath you weren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for you. You realize that he said, I'm going to go ahead and create a day so that they can rest. He didn't say, oh, we've already got a seventh day. Let's just throw that in there and give it to him. No, he knew that you would need rest, right? And so he created the Sabbath so that you could enjoy time with God, with your family, with your friends, so that you could enjoy life. See, true rest comes when you abandon yourself to Christ. When you really abandon yourself to Christ is when really you truly find rest. A lot of us are trying to, we considered, well, I came to church on Sunday and this can be part of your Sabbath. I mean, that the synagogue was part of their Sabbath. You could come to church and it still be part of your Sabbath. But what happens after you leave here? Do you go and you know, well, I'm going to go mow my yard and then I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that. And we're going to get into that in a minute. We're going to get into some practical things here in a minute. But I want what I want you to understand is that the Sabbath is you honoring God over the demands of and expectations of people. How many of you know that people put expectations on you? People put demands on you. But the only thing that I'm responsible to hold myself accountable to is the demands of God. On the work week, you know, when I'm working Monday through Friday or my hours, I'm accountable to my boss. I'm accountable to the people that I'm under. But outside of that, whenever I am living life, there is a day that God designated for me to be able to have off to be able to honor him, right? And this is really hard for most of us because it's a challenge to have to actually cut out a day and consecrate it to God. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people, I mean, if I got a penny for every time that I've heard someone say, I don't know how I can afford to tithe. Well, you never will be able to afford to tithe until you tithe. Because when you tithe, it gets blessed. And there are so many times you're going to be able to say, man, there's no way I can afford to take a day off. So what you're doing is you're looking at it from a different, you're looking at it all wrong. Because what happens when you tithe? God redeems the 90%, right? What happens when you take a day off? God redeems your time. There are things that you could do in 6 days that you wouldn't have been able to do if you would have done it in 7. Because God redeems your days. And so many of us are looking already like, I mean, I'm looking at the calendar. I mean, I've already got a calendar already laid out. And it's already got all this stuff on it. Guess what? Go redo your calendar. Because God will honor when you take a day off. Isn't it crazy that I'm having to preach about taking a day off? Amen. Right? But this is the thing. We live in a culture that doesn't honor that. We live in a culture that says you've got to grind. If you want that 401k, if you want that house, if you want that car, if you want all that, you got to grind. No, you don't. You need to honor God. And when you honor God, God steps in and he blesses your days. Right? How many know that 6 days are effective when day one is done correctly? So in other words, the 6 days that you're trying to work and get everything accomplished, if you don't do the first day right, none of the other days are going to work out. Because you've set up and said, God, I'm my own God because I'm going to do how I want to do it. That's what we do when we don't take Sabbath. We're telling God, I'm going to create my own schedule. Even though in the beginning, he made a powerful statement. He said, I declare this day holy. I declare. I mean, that is a powerful statement. That's as much as when he said, let there be light. That's the same statement. He's declaring this is how it should be. That we should be able to function and be able to do everything that God's called us to do in life, our work, our bills, our kids, all of this stuff. We should be able to do it in 6 days. Right? Scripturally. So how do we move towards that? And that's you being, okay, I'm going to honor God and what he says. Now, solitude here produces clarity for true connection. When you create solitude, and I'm going to go into solitude here in just a minute because Sabbath and solitude are two very different things. Solitude can happen in Sabbath, but they're two different things. Solitude is you taking time throughout the week to connect with God, to be able to have this connection point with God. It's just like for me and Alicia, there are days throughout the week and it's like, I mean, throughout the one day, there's going to be a point where Alicia and I look at each other and we make a connection. And it's this connection point that reminds us that I am yours and you are mine. Right? That's what happens when you have solitude and you have Sabbath. It reminds you of you are his and he is yours, right? Now, this is the struggle, is that a lot of times we struggle with this, accepting this. And this is what happens, is that there's the difference between a healthy soul and an unhealthy soul. And an unhealthy soul is it's the inability to be in solitude or disconnected from their own world. Have you ever tried to take somebody's phone away from them? Dear Jesus, it's like their third kid. It's like, right? I mean, it's like, really? Or fourth kid if you got three. It's another kid, okay? You know what I'm saying? It's like something precious to them. I mean, honestly, they would give up their kid for the phone. It's like, just give me my phone, right? And what happens is this is what we have a problem with, being able to disconnect from our world. Our world is oftentimes in those phones. Facebook, Instagram, all these different things. Fantasy football. We have all of these things and our world is in it. And it's so hard to disconnect from that. But you know what that does? You know what that shows? It should show you that you have an unhealthy soul. When you can't disconnect from something outside of God, it should expose that you have an unhealthy soul. Oh, I can't believe you said that. Well, I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to help you have a healthy soul. I want you to be able to thrive and enjoy life. I want you to be able to not burn out and have a divorce or have some bad relationship destroyed because of you responding in a wrong way simply because you haven't been rested. Happens all the time. And so I want to take you to this passage of scripture where we see Jesus in Matthew chapter 14. So the story is that Jesus had just gotten news that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been beheaded. Okay, so this is his family. He finds out that he's been decapitated. And this is his response. So this is where we pick up in scripture. In verse 13 of chapter 14 of Matthew, it says this: as soon as Jesus heard the news of John the Baptist being beheaded, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Right? So we see this is Jesus, who knows everything, is having to get away from it all. Right? And I want you to see the humanity of God and the process in which we should handle things. Because I think a lot of times we have emotional things that happen to us and we call a friend. Friends are great. We reach out to Facebook and ask for all of their thoughts on this. Can you believe this person did this? And then you get 15 people who don't even know you to agree with you. And then it's just a bad thing, right? But this is what Jesus shows you. This is the process of a healthy soul. This is how you respond when things that aren't what you thought would happen, happen. And here it goes. It says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. This is solitude at its core. But this is the cool thing. Check this out. So it says, but the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. So check this out. So we've got Jesus, who just found out that his cousin's dead. He's gone on a boat ride to get with the Lord. And now we have to know that this boat ride wasn't long. Okay, so something transpired, because now if I'm Jesus and I'm getting in this boat and I'm just getting in there, whatever, and I'm not connecting with God, when I get to the other side, I'm going to project my pain and loss on those people. But check out what Jesus does. Because he's been in solitude with God, he's gotten away, he's gotten alone with God, letting us know that he is having a connection with God, and he's dealing and he's confronting with the emotions that he's having inside, the turmoil that's going on inside. He's connecting with God and confronting it. He could have easily called up his disciples and said, guys, man, this is what I'm going, but he didn't. He didn't lean on his disciples, he leaned on his Father, right? And so this is the amazing thing, is when he gets to the other side, it says he is moved with compassion. So his ability to respond with compassion was based on his ability to be with the Father in solitude. That now when he sees someone else's pain, he's reminded of his pain and what the Father did with his pain. Now he's going to replicate that process to these people. And that's the power of solitude, is that a lot of times our reactions on people are not because of the people, it's because of us not being in solitude with God. Because we're not connected with him, we respond wrong to them. And so instead of our emotions being led by the God, we're driven by our emotions and we respond negatively to people that are hurting already. This is the cool thing. It says what? Right here. It says, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So what is my point is this, is that solitude allows you to gain God's perspective. It allows you to gain a different angle in which you're dealing with life. Solitude allows you to step back from your own world and see a different angle. If I was to change my angle and I was to go over there, there are things that I'm going to see at that angle that I wouldn't be able to see if I was at that angle. And solitude changes your angle. It allows you to see from a perspective of God's view rather than your own personal view. And when you see it from God's, you're able to respond and you're able to react, or you're able to respond rather than react, right? And so how you process your own pain will determine how it affects you and how it affects others, right? How we allow our time with God, it will determine whether we are reactive or responsive. Jesus responded to them. He didn't react. He didn't say, I'm so sick and tired of everybody. Everybody wants me, but I'm dealing with my own pain right now. It says he was moved with compassion. Like, that's a whole nother level. And this is the power of Sabbath. This is the power of us taking time and having solitude with God, right? It doesn't seem very biblical. I mean, it doesn't seem very, wow, that's profound. But what happens in it is profound. The ability to help others will always be dependent on the health of your own soul. This is proof by Jesus. He's letting you know that because I responded and I got away with God, he created a healthy soul in me, and now I can effectively help other people. Right? God wants us to be able to help people, but our ability to help people is contingent on our own health. Right? If I'm sick, I can't help somebody else who's sick. Right? Because I'm sick, I could affect them. And this is what happens when our souls are with God. He's creating a health in us. So now, no matter what somebody else's pain is, we can help them because we're seeing it from a different angle than they are. Process, this is something that I wrote down just from this little story here, is that process determines response. If you don't like the way that you're responding to people, to situations, then you have to change the process. Right? If you change the process, it determines a different response. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus changed the process. Maybe everybody else would have leaned on everything else, but he leaned on Christ. And the state of your soul will determine how things are perceived. When those people came in contact with Jesus, they were like, man, this guy is everything we've ever heard. But they didn't know his story. Just a boat ride ago. I mean, understand, this was a boat ride. This wasn't a three-day journey. This was, he went from one side of the lake to the other side of the lake. And this is his response. What my point is this, is it doesn't take a lot of time to be with God for him to change your angle, to change your perception, to change your perspective. But you've just got to get alone with him. You've got to take time, even throughout your day, and just say, God, man, I thank you that you are my Savior. I thank you that you are the one that gives me healthy perspective. I don't know what my day looks like, God, but I want to lean on you. It's not about you taking 4 hours and doing this. You know, we've been discipling some guys, another guy and me, and we've been discipling 7 guys. And we did this retreat yesterday, a prayer retreat. For 2.5 hours, they got alone with God. And it was amazing when we all came back together, some of the conversations that we had and some of the things that they saw in their own soul that wasn't good, that had been there for days, weeks, years, but it got exposed when they got alone with God, right? And so my point is this, is that those men willing to take a couple of hours out of their day could have ultimately redirected their entire lives moving forward. Because there were things that were exposed in that time with God that God has showed them and said, look, I want to show you something, not to highlight it, to belittle you, but to show you something that you are bigger than this, right? And so then we move on to that was solitude. So we see Jesus' response in solitude. We see that God set up Sabbath in the very beginning. In Genesis 2, he sets it up. And then here we go to Exodus chapter 14. I'm sorry, 16. And we see that this is the story of the Israelites. They've been in captivity with Egypt. They've been slaves for 400 years. And they finally are free. The Red Sea is opened up. They've seen God's provision. They've stepped through. And this is where they're at. It says, then the whole community of Israel set out from Eliam and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin. If you ever enter a city like that, run. Run from that city if it says Sin, okay? I'm just going to warn you now. That was their first mistake. Anyway, it says, between Eliam and Mount Sinai, they arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There, too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted, but now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. So just a quick thought. They would rather be in bondage and full than to be hungry and free. That's perspective. That's them not seeing the Father for them. And so many times we are able to look at a situation from the fact that God didn't set us free, but now God's not providing for us. But God just got you out of the Red Sea. He opened up the sea and let you walk through it. And you saw 12 or 13 foot high waves and you're walking through it on dry land. And it's so easy that when you're not with God, how quickly you forgot what God did for you. That is why Sabbath is so important. And so it goes on and it says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I am going to rain down food from heaven for you. I love that he says that. It's like, I'm not going to trickle it down. I'm going to rain it down. Like these jokers, I'm going to make them pay for what they asked for. I'm going to make it rain. That's how y'all know where they got that from. That wasn't from some rapper. That was from Jesus. Our God said, make it rain. Okay. All right. Just throwing it out there. So each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for the day, right? I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. So now we see that the Sabbath is somewhat of a test. It's challenging us to trust God, right? And he goes on and says this, on the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. Now, as I was reading this, I thought, this is where God finds out who the hoarders in the group are. This is where he's going to find out, are these the hoarders? Are these the hoarders? Who's the hoarders? Because these are the people that are going to be coming up with 16 jars of food thinking God's not going to provide for them, right? And then it goes on and it says this, so Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Then if you go down to verse 19 and 27, it says this, then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until morning, because this is on the sixth day. So on every day, what he told them is every day from the one day, day one to day six, you can get as much as you want. I mean, you can get 15 wheelbarrows full if you want, but it's only going to be able to supply you for that day. And he said, then he also said, you could literally get a handful and it will sustain you the whole day. The point is it doesn't matter what you get, whether it's a little or a lot, it's going to sustain you the entire day. But after that day, it's going to ruin, right? So this is what he says in verse 19. He says, then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until morning. But some of them didn't listen. And that's probably one of you. Wouldn't be me. Kidding. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. So this is what happened when you tried to keep something longer than you were supposed to, you lost it anyway, right? So this is on day six. This is what happens is they would go and they would collect it. And then up on the very beginning, it says, on the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. Right? So this is God letting you and I know, look, I am very qualified to provide for you on your Sabbath. That even though, you know, you're every week you're picking up stuff every day, when it comes to the Sabbath, that seventh day, I will provide for you. And most of us, if we're honest, we have a problem with that. We think that if we're not doing something, if we're not obtaining, if we're not gathering, then God's not going to provide because that's just lazy. No, that's very different than lazy. That's being honoring when God asks us to do something and trusts him. And this is my point, is that the Sabbath allows God to work while you rest. That is the Sabbath. It allows God to work while you rest. I thought I'd get a little bit better amen on that one because, I mean, I like to rest. Anybody else like Sunday naps? Come on, somebody. That's like straight from heaven. See, solitude helps see that we're being... Hold on, sorry. Solitude helps seeing that being is more critical than having. How many of you know that's what happened when on that sixth day, it was all about them having and obtaining, but the Sabbath reminded them that it's just about being. It's just about me being with God. It's not about me collecting and obtaining and gathering, right? And the Sabbath reminds us that it's just about being with God. It's not about me having to get a whole bunch of stuff because God will take care of us on the Sabbath. God instituted that. So here's the conflict with that, is that we have 7 days that we have been accustomed to for so many years that we've never even heard the Sabbath. We didn't know we were supposed to take a day off. How do we move forward from here? Because that is a challenge for all of us. I mean, whenever Alicia and I started implementing the Sabbath thing, it was challenging. But now I can look back and say, I will not be a pastor that burns out. I will last 20 or 30 or 40 years, however long God has me preaching and ministering to people because I'm being faithful with what God has asked me to be faithful with. I'm going to continue to love my wife. I'm going to be able to love my kids. I'm going to be able to do these things because I'm able to rest. And so, you know, there's a story in the Bible. I didn't mention this in the last sermon, but there's a story in the Bible where it says that kings went out to war. And when they went out to war, after they conquered, it says that they went back and they rested. And this is the point, is that God wants you to rest so you can war. There are things that God is wanting you to accomplish that unless you rest, you cannot war. You cannot take back the things that the enemy has taken. You cannot do the things that God is calling you to if you don't rest. And so you fight fatigued and worn out. And then whenever somebody else is a little bit stronger than you, they take you out. Right? And so this is something I wanted to address is that busy doesn't mean you're productive. It just means you're busy. So profound, right? Busy doesn't mean you're productive. It just means you're busy. It just means you're consuming time. Busy, honestly, has become an addiction in our society. We would much rather be busy than doing nothing. But that's not biblical. So this is something I wanted to give you some things that we had to adjust when we begin to apply this. So what happens when a day is taken away? Do you lose a day or do you gain your life? See, I think it's more about what you obtain and what you gain than what you lose. Whenever Alicia and I started talking about the Sabbath and we started implementing it, I didn't say, man, now we're going to lose a day. I said, now I'm going to gain a life. Now I'm going to be able to gain energy and rest, and I'm going to be able to do what God's called me to do. And every one of us has an assignment. The Bible says that before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. And he destined you. And so these are some things that as we begin to implement this, the first thing was priorities. What does it do? Is it makes you put things into priority. Things that can wait have to wait till next week or next month. But it forces you to have to put things into priority. And guess what? The first thing is priority is him. Because that's what the Sabbath is all about. So I put this down. I put priorities. You prioritize between what's important and what's necessary. That's what happens. Number two is that intentionality. With each thing, you have to be intentional with each thing you do. stewardship becomes an absolute. You have to become a steward of your time in order to do this. This is the only way you will be able to do the Sabbath. And then the third thing is this, is focus. We had to focus and put energy towards things that would bring the most fulfillment to our lives. And those are the things we focused on. Those are just three things that we implemented in our lives that we said, okay, these are priorities. We got to be more intentional on these things, and we got to focus. So in other words, I just can't just live life and do whatever. That means I may have to do the laundry on a Tuesday night when I would have just let them set until the weekend. Or I have to mow my yard on a weeknight instead of the weekend. Or I have to do, you see what I'm saying? You have to start doing a little bit more on a different day so that you can continue to honor God on the Sabbath. So on one end, it's a little frustrating in the beginning. That's why I tell people, like, you need to start off slow as you begin to implement this, because your world just gets wrecked. And you slowly implement this thing, and you set it up so that you can honor God, right? There's a scripture in Psalms says this, Psalms 46:10. And I believe this should be your Sabbath scripture. Be still and know I am God. That's what Sabbath is all about. It's all about you being still and knowing He is God. Now, to do that, I thought, what a better way to end this series than with taking communion to God. So in just a moment, we're going to begin to take communion together. And, you know, whenever Jesus did this, it was His last night with them. And He said, look, this is what's important. And He began to talk about His body, and He began to talk about His blood. But there's a powerful statement that He says. And I want you to hear this, because I want you to know that when you said yes to Jesus, you did way more than saying yes. When you said yes to Jesus, you made a covenant with Him, and He made a covenant with you. Right? When we see married people, it wasn't just about the yes that they said to each other. It was about the covenant that they made with each other. That I will love you till death do us part. Right? There was this covenant. That's the beauty of marriage, is the covenant. And this is what He said. He says, for this is my body, which confirms the covenant between God and His people. It reminds me of when you read that and you go back to Exodus and you see the Israelites walking through the Red Sea. It's interesting that it was the Red Sea, the blood of Jesus. And this is us this morning saying, you know what, God? I want to do more than just say yes to you. I want to make a covenant with you. I want to honor your word, and I want to trust you. I don't know if I mentioned this already or not, but I may have, but yeah, I already mentioned it. Sorry, you preached two sermons. You're like, I don't know which one I said it was. So it's like part of it. It's an art, you know? But this is what I want you to do. Jesus said, take this and eat it, for this is my body. This morning, I want you to think about what Jesus did on the cross for you and me. That this isn't just a piece of cracker, that this is a symbol of the covenant that He was making with us. Amen? So if you would take the cracker and apply it as His body this morning. He said, each of you, drink from it, for this is my blood. Which confirms the covenant between God and His people. If you would take it. If you would take a moment to Just ponder on the fact that God made a covenant with you and that you made a covenant.